The Lord placed a topic on my heart this week. He placed a topic on my heart, and I wasn't sure offhand what it had to do really with Easter, but it goes perfectly well with the Easter message, more than I thought about. And I was thinking about some of the freedoms we have in the Lord. We talked about some of the freedoms that we have today and that opportunity to have choices, you know, to go down one path or go down another path. And that's a direct result of what the Lord has done for us. And sometimes I'll you know, be in the middle of a day and there'll be something, that a thought that will pop into my mind. And, you know, the devil may be whispering something to me, you know, you need to be angry about this because of what that person did, or you need to think this, or you need to do that, you know. And it can end up really tearing your whole day apart, you know, if you go down that path. And you can become captive to it, like a slave to sin that it talks about in Scripture, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So I've been thinking about that a lot, and I've been thinking about how when I just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I make a decision that I'm not going to think those things. I'm not going to go down my path. I'm not going to worry about those things. I'm not going to have anxiety about those things. You know, my day has a lot more peace in it. And where I need to be with the Lord, and my mind isn't off somewhere else, you know, being captive to a sin or whatever. And I found great peace in my life. And, you know, the older I get and the more that you know, I follow the Lord, and the more I grow in the gospel and grow as a person, grow into who the Lord wants me to be, I found there's a great peace that the Lord can give us. You know, if we're making the right choices and we're not captive to sin, And, you know, I thought about how Christ himself was made a prisoner or a captive, and, you know, he died. He died and was buried, and they did awful things to him. You know, they spit upon him, and he gave up some of his temporal freedom. But then he broke the bands of death, and he arose, and he became a new person. You know, he was resurrected, just like we need to become new people. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. I'm going to talk about three different things. I broke my sermon up into three different things. I want to talk about temporal freedom, you know, the freedoms that we have living in America today. I want to talk about spiritual freedom. And then I'm going to talk about spiritual bondage. Spiritual bondage. So the first one, temporal freedom. You know, today we took advantage of our temporal freedom. We came to church today to worship as we choose, you know, to worship the God that we choose to worship. We have great freedoms in this land of America, and we might not always have these freedoms that we have. And I was thinking about a dream that a brother in the church had. I heard somebody else speaking about it in a sermon. A dream that a brother had, and in this dream, his freedoms had been taken away. He didn't have freedoms anymore. And that may happen one day. They may, you know, take away our various freedoms. But they can't take away your spiritual freedom. They can never do that. You know, we have free speech. We have the right to bear arms. We were over at my in-laws last night for Easter, and my nephew had a new gun he got out, and we were shooting at a little .22. So we have the right to do that in this country. We can go where we want to go, you know, do what we want to do, go on vacation anywhere in the United States with no restrictions. And when we were over in China in 2008, I had remembered that the comment was made that those people couldn't go everywhere they wanted to go. They had to get all this special permission and paperwork, you know, to move from one province to another. And I don't know if that's changed at all, but I thought about that, and I've always remembered that, you know, not every country has the freedoms that we have here in America. You know, I have a freedom to pick a career, you know, what I want to do with my life. And I look back at my life and where I am now, and it's a direct result of the choices that I have made. You know, I have done things with my life And so I am here today because of these paths that I have taken. I could have taken a different path than different things. But, you know, the state that I'm in right now is directly a result of the choices that I have made. You know, I have great freedom to do what I want to do both in the Lord and with regards to, you know, just the daily matters of life. I had some quotes I wanted to share. Ronald Reagan, he said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free." And, you know, that's true. You know, freedom, temporal freedom, it can be taken away just like that if the Lord would allow it to happen. And this country, you know, it takes it for granted. I myself take it for granted. You know, we've abused this freedom that we have. And I think back at my life and the good things that I've had in my life because of this freedom, you know, and it's of great value and it's been a great blessing. But at the same time, it's very fragile. And sometimes it upsets me that people abuse it and they don't see the path that our nation is taking. You know, they don't see where things are going. They don't see that their freedoms that they have are going to disappear. You know, God's going to let bad things happen if they don't follow the Lord. But you know, I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for my life and that God's blessed me in the many ways it has. And there are people that have made great sacrifice for us to have this freedom. And we don't always remember that, you know. In my generation, I haven't had to deal with war and those sorts of things. You know, I haven't had to go over to the Middle East. There have been some here in this congregation that have. But for me, it's been very easy. You know, you look back what happened during the wars, you know, all the different wars that we've had, World War II, et cetera, et cetera. And a sacrifice has always had to been made in order to have the freedoms that we have. Even in the Book of Mormon, you know, they had to fight for their freedom and they had to make sacrifices. They had to give their lives for that. Another quote, John Quincy Adams says, "You'll never know how much it cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it." The Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And I was thinking about this yesterday, and when I read this, the statement from the Declaration of Independence, it almost sounds like Scripture, that all men are created equal. You know, it talks about you know, God gives everybody a choice, and He's not a respecter of persons. We read that in our scriptures. You know, God wants us to have joy. It talks about that in the Book of Mormon. It talks about here the pursuit of happiness. You know, life and liberty. And you think about what Moroni did, and he lifted up that flag that talked about this life and liberty. And, you know, you can see that the Lord's hand has been on the creation of this nation. You know, you just read this Declaration of Independence and you can see that just by what this says right here. And, you know, again, I'm very thankful, and I have been driving home from work these last couple days, and I'll get into our subdivision and I'll make it to our corner, and the girls sometimes are there waiting for me on the corner of our street, and they'll have their scooters and they'll race me down to our house. And, you know, I was thinking, what a blessing I have, you know. What a blessing I have that I don't have to worry, I don't have to fear, that my daughters can just meet me there at the corner of our cul-de-sac and they can, you know, follow me home. You know, it's a great blessing. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the cost of freedom, the temporal freedom. American Revolutionary War, estimate of casualties vary between 25,000 and 70,000 to obtain freedom from Great Britain. That was its purpose. The American Civil War, there were 800,000 casualties, brought an end to slavery within the United States. World War I, 20 million casualties necessary to restore peace and freedom to Europe and subdue German aggression. In World War II, between 60 million and 80 million casualties to restore freedom and end the tyranny of Germany and Japan. And it's such a large number, 60 to 80 million people. That's a lot of people. And that was necessary. You know, if we had not won that war, if the Lord had not allowed us to win that war, where would the world be today? It would have it'd be much different than what it is today. You know, people sacrifice greatly for freedom, for temporal freedom. There was a speech, it's called the Four Freedoms Speech. It was given by United States President Franklin D. Roosevelt on January 6, 1941, in an address known as the Four Freedoms Speech, which was technically the 1941 State of the Union Address. He proposed four fundamental freedoms that people everywhere in the world ought to enjoy. And this is what he said. He said, in the future days which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understandings, which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants everywhere in the world. The fourth is freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a thorough fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world. And these are the things that have been fought for, you know, throughout time. We read about these things. We even read about it a lot in our Book of Mormon. And you know, it was given in 1941 is what it says here. So this was, you know, in that period when the United States was entering into World War II, and they had to work to obtain their freedoms. You know, they couldn't just take their freedoms for granted. They didn't just have them. They had to fight what was going on here with Germany and Japan. They had to work for it. They had to make a sacrifice. So that's temporal freedom. I wanted to talk now about spiritual freedom. And this is what Christ said, Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." I remember we talked about this in a study last year. But this is directly related to the gospel and, you know, what Christ taught and the freedom that he had obtained for us by rising from the grave, and the sting of death no longer had power, you know, over him or over us, where we would rise again one day. Everybody's going to rise either to eternal life or to that eternal spiritual death, you know, at the end. You know, and it talks about here, it says, good tidings unto the meek. The meek, it's those that are humble. You know, if you want to take advantage of the blessings of the Lord, you need to be humble. If you are humble, if you are meek, if you follow the Lord's teachings, he can bind up your wounds. You know, he can give you peace in your life because of, you know, the trials that you've gone through. He can help you with that. It says here he can bind it up and take care of it. It's a promise. He wants to give you liberty in your life. He wants, you know, he gave you freedom to choose the path that you take. You know, liberty over death. Liberty from the law of Moses. So, you know, there are great blessings because of what Christ did for us. Another passage, John 8:32-36. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. But the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So, you know, perhaps if we would have been there when Christ spoke this, would we understand what he was talking about? I'd probably be confused. What do you mean free? I am free. But then he brings up another point. He talks about sin. You know, when we commit sin, when we can be captive to it, we can be a slave to sin, and it can you know, eat us up day after day when we just do things over and over and over. And we can't produce any fruit in our life. We can't have any peace in our life because we're upset about something, angry with somebody, or doing this or doing that, committing a gross sin maybe. You know, the devil has you right where he wants you, if you're captive to sin. So there's a cost for the temporal freedom. There's also a cost for spiritual freedom. I thought this was a neat picture. It showed the cross, Jesus, Messiah, and it's got some signs hanging from it. The atonement, redemption, the Lamb of God, and it's got freedom on there as well. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. So there was a cost associated with the freedom that we have in Christ. And that cost was what, you know, Christ went through, and was the cross that he had to face. But then, you know, the freedom was fully established after the resurrection. It wasn't just the cross, it was after he, prevailed over the bands of death. Matthew 27:1-2, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that Christ had to give up the freedom that he had. He could no longer walk where he wanted to go where he wanted to go. They captured him. You know, they put him in a prison. They bound him. He lost his freedom at that point, his temporal freedom. And then, of course, we know what happened after that, Matthew 27:35-50. So I think it would be appropriate to read this since it's Easter. I'm going to start verse 33. It says, and when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. So, you know, this is the Lord. This is, you know, God that became flesh, you know, and dwelled among us. And he had to bear these things. The God of all creation, he had to put up with us, you know, telling him what he needed to do and pointing our finger at him and spitting at him. You know, this didn't have to happen, but it did happen. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So, you know, what we read about here, this plan of salvation, it was from the very beginning. It was for the beginning, even before the worlds were created, this plan of redemption, it was laid out, and God allowed it to happen. But, you know, this is all part of the sacrifice for our freedom. The freedom that we have spiritually is because of what Christ did for us. And of course, the resurrection's part of that, that gives us that freedom as well. Matthew 28, 1 through 8, 18 through 20. So let's read a little bit further on. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." So, of course, you know, he rose from the dead. He conquered death. And then we read about what the benefit is because of what he did. And we can read about that in verses 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." So that plan of salvation and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, that had run its course. And now we have freedom in the Lord where we can make a covenant with the Lord and we can be baptized. You know, and keep the commandments until the remission of sins that it talks about in Scripture. So the freedom that we have and the choices that we have in this life are a direct result of what the Lord did for us, you know, bearing that cross and rising from the grave. Another passage about the benefit, 2 Nephi 1, 116 to 125. It's on page 86. You know, this reflects Easter, what we're going to read about here. It goes right along with it. It says, "Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil." So, you know, the Lord died, he was resurrected. Now we have this freedom to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. So I'm going to talk about captivity coming up here, but, you know, think about this. Is there anything that you're captive to in your life? You know, is there anything you're captive to? "For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his kingdom." So what spirit, you know, what spirit's guiding you in your life? Is it the spirit, the Holy Spirit? Is it directing you, or is it this, you know, the spirit of the devil that's telling you what to do, and you're listening to it and you're following it, and you're as a slave? Mosiah 3:8-10, and now because of the covenant which he had made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he has spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him, and become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free, and there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. You know, what a great privilege it is to be called the sons and daughters of God. You know, we can have a relationship with the Lord, you know, because of what the Lord did for us. It's a great blessing, but yet we abuse it, and we don't always take it seriously. We're slaves to the devil, and we don't follow the direction of the Lord and what he has for us. And you think about, all right, I've heard people say, sometimes you'll come across somebody that'll say, you know, we're not going to live here very long. It's not going to last forever. Just take advantage of this time that you have and do whatever you want to do. And, you know, it talks about in the Book of Mormon that we'll just get beaten with a few stripes. But these people, you know, they don't care about the Lord at all. They don't even believe in God. And they think that freedom is being able to do what I want to do, commit every sin in the book. You know, that's freedom. But it's a lie. What that really is captivity. And unfortunately, they won't find that out until it's too late if they continue going down that path. That what they thought was freedom was not freedom at all. I like this picture, spiritual liberty. The cross marks the place in time and space when humanity was truly set free, seeing God in America. And it's, you know, it's not only the cross, it's the resurrection, of course. But I thought this was a neat picture. I don't know if any of you have seen this. This is something else I found. It's a statue that they made in Memphis, Tennessee, and it shows a Statue of Liberty holding up a cross. And it says, America, return to Christ. So I want to read about this. It says, aside from the obvious Christian cross replacing the torch of enlightenment, Lady Liberation differs in several ways from Lady Liberty. Her crown is gold and it has the word Jehovah across its front. And each of its spikes is labeled with a different biblical redemptive name for God. The Statue of Liberation carries a Ten Commandment-shaped tablet. A single tear can be seen on her right cheek, symbolic of God's disappointment with the current state of America. Lady Liberation, unlike Lady Liberty, has visible eyeballs, and they seem sad. So, you know, there are many of us that do need to return to God, and I really appreciated, you know, seeing this. And my third topic, spiritual bondage. Is there anything that you're entangled in your life? Galatians 5:1, stand fast thereof in the liberty wherefore Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, you've been baptized, you've repented of your sins, you've become born again, but did you, you know, go backwards to what you used to be? Do you think about the old life you used to have and say, man, I was happy back then the way I used to be? And if you think about it for a time, you know, the Lord will speak to you and say, no, you were not happy back then. You know, that wasn't true freedom in Christ. And that's what the devil does to us. He lies to us. He says, you know, if you go and do this and do that, it's going to make you happy in life. But it's a direct opposite. You know, it's misery. It's misery. And then he speaks lies to us. 1 Nephi 1:104. Wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies. Wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die. But ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. you know, do what you want to do, commit that sin, whatever sin, the forbidden things. You know, those are the things that are going to make you happy. You know, you're going to gain knowledge because of this, or you're going to be right where you need to be. So, you know, from the very beginning, these lies were being spoken. So I've got some examples of things we can be captive to. You know, which are you captive to any one of these things? Envy. You know, why are you not satisfied with what God gave you? Why are you not satisfied with what God gave you? You know, covetousness, it's along those same lines. Are you not satisfied with the things you have? Pride and fear. You know, this is when I struggle with fear and anxiety. You know, I get worked up about things inside and I can't, you know, think about anything else. But I find great peace when I just say I'm not going to do that. You know, more recently I have found peace. I'm not going to worry about those things. I'm not going to worry about having to go to work tomorrow. You know, what's the purpose of me spending all my time worrying about work tomorrow? You know, Christ said today, there's enough things today that need to be taken care of. Don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. Gossip. You know, who are we talking about? Who are we talking about with others? And you should know, you know, if there's somebody that you associate with that's gossiping all the time, they might be gossiping about you behind your back. So we need to make sure that we don't participate in this. Lust of the flesh. You know, maybe some of you who are married, you know, are you lusting after someone else's wife or someone else's husband? You know, this can tear people apart. It can tear families apart. It can tear churches apart, and people can get hurt. You know, hate. Is there somebody that you just don't like and you just hate them? Anger. The love of money. Unwholesome talk. Bitterness. Is there somebody that did something? You know, maybe they had good intentions, but you didn't like what they did, and so you're bitter about it. So you think you have the right to be upset about it. Alcohol. You know, alcohol also can tear people and families apart. Not forgiving. You know, we need to forgive, because if we don't forgive, you know, we won't be forgiven at the last day. And, you know, Christ said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Love of the world. You know, I want to do this in the world, or I want to go to that event, or I want to have this thing or that thing. These things that are popular in the world. Unbelief. Selfishness and what other people think. You know, if it's what other people think, you know, are you basing your decisions on what other people think about what your decisions are going to be? You know, there could be anything that somebody doesn't agree with you about. You know, the Book of Mormon, for example, or anything. You know, what are people going to think if I accept that? You know, I want people to think that I'm cool, you know, that I've got it all together. I want people to like me. You know, you value them more than you value the Lord's opinion. You know, that's the opinion that matters. It's the Lord. You need to follow the Lord. And if you're following the Lord, then you're doing what's right. I've got a picture here. Which one are you? Now, the first picture shows that Satan, he's got a whip. You know, he's cracking it. And this guy up here in front, he's being directed by Satan. He's going the course of the world. And he can't get off that path because he's just being whipped, and he just won't stop. He can't stop. He's forgotten that he can stop. He's just doing it over and over again. You know, that person or the next person, this shows, you know, this temptation that's coming up on him and wants to grab him. You know, as soon as you're tempted and it gives way to sin, you know, you're captive and it's got a hold of you. But he's saying, no, you know, I'm going to follow my Lord and do what he wants me to do, and I'm going to hold on to him and his word, and I can have freedom. I can be a servant because, you know, I chose to be a servant and follow the Lord rather than being captive to the devil. So, you know, what to do? Just say no. And it's really actually a hard thing. It's not that easy, but you need to make that first step. You need to say, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it. And try it for a while. You know, if you're tempted to do something or have a thought, say, I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to go do these other things. I'm going to think good thoughts and see how it turns out. And I think you'll be a lot happier at the end of the day if you do that. So you need to be careful. We need to be careful all the time. We need to pray all the time. We need to pray to the Lord and be watchful all the time. And if you think about this list that it went through, that we went through, you know, do any of these things have any real benefit? You know, if you love money, if you're bitter about something, you're not forgiving, you know, you love the world, none of these things have any benefit, so why should we do them? You know, what benefit does it have to be envious of someone or to covet at something? Does it mean you're going to get it because you covet it? That doesn't mean that at all. It's just going to be a waste of your time. You know, if I have pride in my life, it's going to be a waste. All of these things, they don't have any real value. And maybe you need somebody to help you. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. You know, there's always somebody you can talk to. Ask them to help you. Ask them to pray with you. You know, maybe it's something you just want to keep confidential between you and them. You know, talk to them if you need to. You know, we're always available. I'm available. You can talk to me and I will pray with you. Make a change, 2 Nephi 1:27. Oh, that you would awake from a deep sleep, yea, even from the sleep of hell, and shake off the awful chains by which ye are bound, which are the chains which bind the children of men, that they are carried away captive down to the eternal gulf of misery and woe. And when I was considering this verse, I was thinking about in the Christmas Carol movie, you know, when they're making choices, when Ebenezer Scrooge is doing what he's not supposed to do, and Jacob Marley did what he wasn't supposed to do. He was building up this big chain that he was supposed to drag for all eternity. So it's a little bit different, but kind of the same thing. But you really, if you do these things and you do them over and over, and if you're captive to it, it really is like being chained. Colossians 3:1-15. These are just some examples of some of the things that we need to get rid of in our life. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So Christ rose from the grave, and then it says in Romans that we identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, and we become new people. You know, we ourselves are risen as new people, just as Christ rose. So set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conceptiousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now you also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We talked about that today in our study. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So, you know, there's a list here. We have a list here in Scripture, and I had a list of things we were captive to. So we need to take the old list and replace it with this new list. You know, replace these things that hold us captive to these things. And we can be a blessing to others because of these things that we do here. And if you do that, it talks about peace. You will have peace in your life that it talks about here in verse 15. My last slide, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I thought this picture was appropriate. This person's got their backpack, and they've got all this thing stuffed in it. They can't rest. They're not resting in the Lord. They're bearing these things, and it's weighing them down. The devil's putting these things in their backpack, and they're just bearing them unnecessarily. But if you do make a decision to get rid of these things, you know, you will have peace in your life. You know, it talks about that right here. You know, God wants to give you rest, and it's a promise. If you get rid of those things, you know, you will be in a liberated state. You know, you will find peace. You will be in like a Christian utopia. You'll have great peace in your life because of it. And, you know, temporal freedoms can be taken away. People can take them away from you, but they can never take away your spiritual freedom. So what I'd like to close with is just think about these things. Think about something this week you're captive to, and just make a decision to not do it for a while and see how it goes. And you'll find that you'll be glad you did it. That's a choice that the Lord wants us to make. So I'm thankful for this time, and I'm thankful for our Lord and His resurrection. And, you know, it really humbles me. It humbles me that we can come in here today, and that we can worship and we can be in the presence of our Lord.